I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast, and we could be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com. My guest today is Michael Fiorante, who is a co-founder of the Chicago Amputee Soccer Club. Michael, I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
Oh, this is... Sounds like you're doing great things, and I can't wait to hear all about it. First, tell me about where the family's from in Italy.
So both of my parents, or my grandparents, come from Sicily. My mom's side comes from a small town near Palermo called Castronovo di Sicilia. And my dad's side of the family, my grandparents immigrated to Chicago from Altavilla Milicia.
I'm quite familiar with Altavilla Milicia. There's a lot of people from that town in the Chicago area. A lot of people. And a very dear friend is big part of the society. Many friends are part of the society. I'm assuming when I say the society, it's the Maria Santissima Laudetana Society. I'm assuming you go to the fest every year.
Yep. Since I was a little kid, my dad used to, not anymore, but he used to carry the Devata in the procession every year for the feast. So it's something that I'd gone to every year since I was a kid. And in the past couple of years, it's been a little difficult being like with career stuff, but try and make it a consistent thing to go, even like with friends and stuff. So yeah.
You got to come next year. It's going to be the 125th year in Chicago, and they're going to do a lot of amazing things. Labor Day weekend. It's a great thing, a great tradition. God bless them. And in your town in Sicily, I think it was last year was the 400th year, which is just an amazing thing when you really, really sit down and think about it. You know, we can't get things for 40 days in a row, let alone 400 years of keeping this tradition going. Fantastic. But okay. Have you ever been to Italy?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've gone. I went when I was a little kid. My parents brought me, when I was first born, and then when I was like 4 and 7, and then there was like a little bit of a gap, like in middle school where I didn't go for a while. But then ever since like sophomore year of high school, I've gone every 2 to 3 years. To try and visit family. And then I studied abroad a little bit until it got cut short by COVID. But yeah, it's always been something really important to me to stay connected. And I just love going back. The food alone would keep me. So
yeah. Was the study abroad program in Italy?
It was. I went to Loyola University in Chicago. And so I studied abroad at the Rome campus, for a few months until COVID decided to kick us all out.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, a little note about me. I too studied at the Rome campus for Loyola back in 1987, the spring semester. I was there the whole semester. I stayed 5 months. It was incredible. That's a real shame that it got cut short. That's really terrible.
Yeah, I was there for a couple months, but at the end of the day, something is better than nothing, I guess, right? So
no, absolutely. And
I was able to enjoy a little bit.
And unfortunately, that thing affected everybody in so many different ways. But yeah. Okay. It's a soccer team. I know you have a soccer background. Tell me about your soccer background. Obviously, this is something, you know, in your heart. So
yeah. So, I mean, I started playing soccer at like 3, 4 years old with my nonno and my uncle in the backyard. That was kind of how that all started. I loved the sport. I could never play a sport where standing was a big portion of it. I always felt the need to be running around. And soccer was a very important sport in our family. And whether it was watching games on on Sundays with my nonno and my uncle watching the Serie A, or watching the national team play during a Euro Cup or a World Cup. It was always something that kind of like brought us all together and connected us. And going to Harlem Avenue and watching games there
I
for
was going
the
to ask you, okay, Italy won in 2006.
yes.
Were you alive,
I
but
was alive. I was 7 years old, and that was like the first.
do you recall it? Did you
Yes,
come
I
to
do.
Harlem Avenue?
That was the first experience I remember of Harlem Avenue and like the chaos of Little Italy. I remember my family was over at my house. We were watching the game, and I remember I don't know why I had stepped out. Maybe it was to go to the bathroom or something. But then I come back and everyone's screaming, and then my mom just tells me like, get in the car. And I'm like, okay, I'm a 7-year-old. What the heck do I know? So we go and get in the car and we drive to Harlem Avenue. And I remember on the way driving, I'm like high-fiving people with flags outside the car, and people are coming up to our car, high-fiving us out the window. And my dad's honking the horn, which never worked again after that day. And so yeah, that was kind of my first experience of that. And ever since then, I was just like, this is awesome. I couldn't wait for the next time for that to happen again. So, and I
Yeah,
was lucky.
unfortunately,
Yeah,
we
it
did
took
have
a
that Euro
while.
Cup the 1 year, but yeah, no, that's great. That's great. So you're a soccer guy. Tell us how this all, I know there's a story to it, how you got involved with starting this team.
Sure. So, like I said, played soccer all through high school, and wanted to stay connected to the sports somehow in my career path. I realized pretty quickly professionally it wasn't going to be a career route for me, but still wanted to be involved in the game somehow. And I had my fair share of injuries growing up, being an athlete, and went through physical therapy a lot. And so that's kind of how I got connected to the profession. It was funny, at 16, my PT asked me if I wanted a job, like as a rehab tech in the clinic that I was at. And as a 16-year-old, I didn't know anything about like PT other than it helped me get better. I just kind of wanted a first paycheck, and I was like, sure, like why not? I'll accept the job, As a 16-year-old, I'm like, let me just start working. And I just fell in love with the profession ever since then. And so I went to PT school at Northwestern in Chicago. And lucky enough, I was able to go to a PT conference out in San Diego, where my classmate at the time, now colleague, we were lucky enough to meet some players who play for the American amputee soccer national team. And we just kind of had a discussion. We just wanted to learn more about it, and one thing led to another in our conversation. And that's kind of, they were looking to expand to have a regional team out in Chicago, which they hadn't been able to start yet. And so we got connected to an amputee in Chicago who was looking to start a team as well. And so between the three of us, we kind of kickstarted things, and it's been growing ever since.
So, just going back just slightly, what an amazing thing though that you got injured, and through this injury, you discovered what would be a career. I mean, that's kind of amazing in itself, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is. At the time, had you ever heard of this? Were you aware that this existed, an amputee team?
No, I wasn't. It was definitely something that I had learned about at that conference. And it was funny. It wasn't something that we were like planning to go see necessarily. It was just like, it was this big like exhibition hall that had different booths and whatever. And we just kind of walked by an area, and we saw that they had different like adaptive sports demos going on. So they had like blind soccer and wheelchair basketball, and a bunch of other things like that. And we saw amputee soccer, and so we just kind of struck up a conversation with the people there. And yeah, that's kind of how that all started.
And what year was that?
Oh, that was 2023. Yeah, March 2023, February 2023.
Okay, so you come back to Chicago and you got this idea, but how does it actually happen? Because, we all have lots of ideas, but they're, the reality is always very difficult.
Right. So, luckily, at the time, like I was still in physical therapy school at Northwestern, and so we definitely relied on professors as a resource as to how to go about starting something like this, because between the three of us, none of us had ever started a soccer club before. And
We're all
so,
students at the time, correct?
yeah, so me and my classmate were a student. The third co-founder, he is a lawyer, but lost his lower limb through a traumatic accident. And so that was kind of how he first got involved in the community. So we got connected to him because he was already connected to kind of like the people that we had met at the conference. And so they connected us to him. And that was kind of all that, how that all kind of started together. But yeah, in terms of starting it, we just kind of got on a call. We kind of relied on some guidance and advice from professors and tried to get in contact with various like rehab hospitals and stuff like that. And then started a social media page. And eventually we were just kind of like, you know what? Let's just schedule a date and let's do something. And then whoever comes, comes. And but like the only way something like this is going to start is if we schedule a date and we have a clinic and let's do it and see what happens.
Yeah, one of my favorite statements is "build it, and they shall come." You got to do it. But let me ask you, I got to assume this took some money, correct? I mean, everything takes money. Did you have donors? Did you? Is this out of pocket?
So, fortunately, we have not, I have not, and neither of my colleagues have put in any of their own personal funds into this. We were lucky that between like networking and stuff like that, either we've had field space donated to us that we've been able to use. And then we've kind of like between all of us, we've played soccer throughout our whole lives. So we have an abundance of soccer equipment personally that we've used. But so yeah, and then a lot of it has been fundraising. Luckily, the one of our colleagues who has played on the national team, he's done personal fundraising to go on trips with the national team. So the association has kind of designated those fundraising funds to the Chicago region. So we kind of had some funds to tap into to rent field space when we need to and all of that kind of stuff. But luckily so far that's kind of what we've been using it for. And now we have a trip to Boston in the second week of October that we'll be attending. So
Gotcha. So there's like a national group and they're trying to start teams in multiple cities and they're giving you a hand and all the procedures to do it. Okay,
correct.
I get it. Okay, so tell me about the team. So is there, I'm assuming there's one team in Chicago.
Correct.
And
Yep.
how many players are these men, women? What's the ages like?
Yeah, so it's one team in Chicago. It's open to everyone, men, women, all genders, ages, with limb differences, limb loss. And what we kind of right now, the team, we have, let's say, a core group of 4 to 5 players who come consistently with a sprinkling of a couple others who attend when they can. And so for amputee soccer, you need a starting lineup of 7 versus the traditional 11 that people are used to watching on TV. But yeah, so that's kind of where the team is at right now. Between right now, most of it is like adults, men, and then we have a couple female players that have come to play as well, which is awesome to see. We love to get a mix of all ages and gender.
I was going to say it's open to like teenagers, correct?
Yeah, we've had some youth players come and participate, and it's been awesome to see that.
Okay. And then everything else, is it regular soccer as far as the rules go?
Yeah, so all the field players play on forearm crutches and they have a lower limb difference or loss. And then goalkeepers have a upper extremity limb difference or loss. So it's amazing to see how athletic and the things that they can do on the field is truly amazing.
And is there two halves and all that kind of stuff as right. well?
Two halves. The halves, I believe, are 20 minutes shorter just because it takes a lot more energy to move around on crutches than it does otherwise. So yeah, the halves are a bit shorter. The field dimensions are a bit shorter. And the goals are a little bit smaller as well.
Smaller, yeah. That's what I figured. Do you think and I know nothing about this, you know, that group of people, like, is it something that it's out there now that like a lot of people are aware of the team for potential players and just potential interest?
Yeah. So, I mean, the sport itself has been around since the 80s. But I think there's been a bigger takeoff in the sport within the last few years. There's an amputee soccer World Cup for the men, and the women have their inaugural World Cup coming up in November, which is really awesome to see.
Well, now when you say World Cup, is this like the United States competing against other countries?
Correct.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep. So all the tournaments that you see, like for like the traditional national teams, men's or women's, like those are being introduced into amputee soccer as well. So there's the Gold Cup for the men, the World Cup. The women are having their inaugural World Cup in November in Colombia. And they go through all the qualifying stages and all of that as well. So it's a whole process. So it's definitely a lot of matches to play, but it's awesome. It's cool to see.
Well, that's tremendous. As far as your team now, so is there coach? Is there a coach? Is there coaches? Are they? And so if they're the only team here, they would have to travel to, and then are these games like competitive, like they're keeping score? Is it all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So my colleague and I, who helped start it, we are both doing physical therapy residencies outside of Chicago to specialize in sports physical therapy. So when we left, we were like involved in kind of like the coaching and on-field kind of stuff, but we were lucky enough to have a lot of volunteers who are willing to help. And so we're very blessed to have a nice core team that have helped with like coaching aspect and managing like field space and all of that kind of stuff, so that the players that come are there to play and they don't have to worry about all of kind of like administration back end type stuff. So we just want to make it as easy as possible for everyone to come, where it's just like when you come to the field, you know you're there to play soccer and have fun and train and whatever. So, and we get people who are at various levels. Some people have never touched a soccer ball in their life and they want to come and see what the community is all about. And that's really what we're trying to build is a community of people where they just feel welcome and try and play, whether they have a background in the sport or not. But then there's people that have played for a long time and they want to take their level to a whole other thing, and they want to play more competitively, which is what this tournament in Boston is all about. So, and we could touch on that later if you want, but
so basically it's not a league where like, okay, Boston's coming today, New York's going to be here in a week. It's more like tournaments in a city where everyone would be traveling to.
Correct. Right now, we're at the point where it's a little bit difficult to be having games on like a consistent basis. That's something I think that we're striving towards to be able to do that one day, but
Well, there's a
take
lot of obstacles with that. I
yeah,
mean,
there's a lot of obstacles and
time,
need a little bit of
money,
time.
organizing it all. I mean, playing. I mean, this is a whole other ball game. Yeah.
But we'd love to get there eventually.
Yeah. How so? More or less, how many teams are out there in the country?
So there are a couple teams out in California, at least one in Texas. There's us in Chicago, one in Miami, one in New York, one in Boston, one in Columbus, Cincinnati. So they're popping up, kind of like in all various parts of the country. I know they just had, like an amputee clinic out in Arizona. So they're definitely making the effort to try and get the sports started all over the country.
Well, that's great. Is it like your season is a certain time of the year and then it ends?
Right now there's no like designated season per se. It's more at least for us in Chicago, it's 'cause like m other teams are definitely more developed and are having like games against each other. Like I know the team in Boston and the team in New York, I know it kind of works out that they're very close, but I know they play games against each other fairly frequently. And their teams are more established. So the more like the teams that are more new and up and coming, we're still trying to form like a full team. So that's kind of where we're at right now is we kind of have like a consistent time of like we train every other Friday from 7 to 8. And that's kind of where we're at right now is having these training sessions to help to try and have people come out and play and do that.
And is that, I'm not that smart. Is it 7 to 8 in the morning or 7 to 8 at night?
PM.
PM.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
And then once the weather changes, which we all know in Chicago, it's a coming, unfortunately. Do you have indoor space capabilities?
throughout the outdoor season, we've been fortunate enough to have we've been training at the Skyline Pitch near Old Town. It's a rooftop field, and it's cool because they have the dimensions of the field work perfectly for what we need, and then you have the entire Chicago skyline in the background, which is a pretty cool place to go train if you ask me.
No, really, that's I never heard of it. That's how many floors up is it?
We're up on the 7th or 8th floor, so literally the roof of the building, like as high as it goes, that's what the
Wow,
field's at.
that's amazing, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean that's great. Wow.
yeah. So it's a cool view, and we've been fortunate enough to have them host us and collaborate with us. So it's been fortunate during the outdoor season to have them. During the indoor season, unfortunately, it's hard to cover a rooftop. So we trained at the Chicago Fire Pitch near Lane Tech High School during the indoor season last year. So we'll see kind of like where that heads for this indoor season, but whether it's there somewhere, we'll find somewhere and we'll get it communicated to people who want to come out.
Well, fortunately, soccer has grown so much in popularity, and there are so many players that there's quite a number of indoor facilities around the city and the suburbs. There's quite a number. I mean, years ago there was maybe one, and now there's many, many, many. So, and I'm hopefully that they cooperate with you guys, and probably these indoor facilities. Over the winter months, they're probably going all day and night with people coming in to play.
Oh
So,
yeah.
yeah, it's
Indoor field space is a hot commodity for sure.
it really is. Yes.
Yeah,
So, what's you're a very young guy. I mean, this is incredible, and I really good for you, and good for the people that you wanted to be a part of this, and you saw it through. What are some of your ideas or maybe goals for the future with this?
oh, that's a big question. So, I mean, I think ideally, Well, the first goal, and this goal will always remain, is having a solid community of people to engage with. I think that was our original mission in starting this team, is just including people and having people try a sport or play a sport that they have always loved, and maybe they didn't even think they would be able to get back to playing. And so I think creating a community like that will always be a foundation for us. But in terms of like growth and things like that, I think obviously we want to have a full team to participate in various matches that will end up taking place. And then, expanding that to having like youth teams and expanding to having a female team or co-ed team, whatever it is. We want to be able to have something for everyone. And then, I think kind of like how you were saying, like having a league sounds pretty cool. So like if we could participate and play against other teams around the country, and it's, it becomes a smoother process in terms of, like you said, things cost money. And so having sufficient funds and consistency with all of that, that's kind of the goals towards the future, no pun intended.
And just, thinking out loud, if there was another city that would be born into this type of league, just for us geographically, it would be nice if perhaps like Milwaukee had a team, because then it's a 90-minute ride on the expressway and they could shoot down, we could shoot up. That would be an ideal city to have another team so that there could be competition without it being, a giant hassle of getting on a plane.
I would 100% agree with that. I think that would be great if neighboring cities had their teams. It would definitely make travel easier and hopefully incentivize people to come out. So I think that would be great.
And also, hopefully, I mean, we are in a giant city here in suburbs. I mean, hopefully you guys could field, two teams, which, if anything, at least they can practice games with each other more often. So,
Hey, Chicago has two teams for other sports. Why can't we have two amputee soccer
that is
teams?
very true. Yes. Michael, if people are interested in any way, potential players, potential volunteers, and the biggie, potential donors, how do they get in touch with you, with this team? How do they follow you?
So we have an Instagram page, which is probably the best way to reach out to us. Chicago underscore amputee underscore soccer is where you can find us on Instagram. I am also on Instagram, Michael Fiorante. If you want to reach out to me directly in terms of donating, so being that we are an affiliate team of the American Amputee Soccer Association, if people want to donate to the Chicago region, they can search for American Amputee Soccer Association online. Go to their website and then donate to them, and then just specify that they want their donation to go to the Chicago region, and that's how they can help us out.
And you also, like, you're taking volunteers, coaches.
Yeah, we're taking volunteers. We have a bunch of student volunteers we have people from Northwestern, from Loyola, or just people from in the community that want to come out and help. So we love having bodies there who are willing to help in whatever capacity, whether it's just to help on play on the field, because we have volunteers play on forearm crutches, so they get a sense of like what it's like to play the sport. So whether it's to have bodies, whether you want to take a more active role in helping with the organization in terms of planning or social media, what have you, we would love to have anyone who wants to come and help.
Well, excellent. You are a fine gentleman, a fine Italian American gentleman, which is really fills my heart up. And thank you. Thanks for the interview. But thanks, you're doing great things. That's amazing. I'm assuming that your parents are very proud people, and they should be.
Thank you.
So keep it up. Keep up all your great work, and keep representing us in such a fine way. Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.